Okay, we're on John 11:25 to begin with. Verse 25, chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the love that drew salvation's plan and sent it down to man. We thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for you. This is Resurrection Sunday. We ask that you would bless your people wherever they are today. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Today, we remember one of the most amazing events in history. It is not the virgin birth or the incarnation. Rather, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I can't explain how he came out of the grave. The Bible doesn't tell us. It only states the fact that he rose from the dead. Christ was crucified on Friday, commonly known as Good Friday. On the following Sunday, he defeated death and came out of the grave. I got to correct something here. And came out of the grave. He arose from the dead explains the church and the Bible. For there would be no church or Bible without his resurrection. On Good Friday, he died apparently a failure. His friends scattered. His movement stopped. But on Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. His friends reassembled, and the movement began anew, never more to stop. His resurrection explains those things, but those things don't explain his resurrection. His resurrection is an event on a par with creation, but his resurrection began a new creation in the hearts of men and women. If there is explanation for his resurrection, it is the Godhead. But the resurrection happened to him alone, and only to him could it happen, as God in human form walked the earth as man. He was a man with feelings, sufferings, hopes. Yet when we read the account of his earthly life, we find that there is more than humanity involved. Humanity can't explain all that he was and did. In a unique, mystical, mysterious way, God was in Christ, and the one who saw Christ in truth saw the Father. John 14:9. Jesus saith unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen the Father, he that has seen me, hath seen the Father. So his miracles and his resurrection don't explain him. Rather, he explains them. For example, the miracles are true because he's God. Understand, please, that that does not take away from his humanity. He's still man. He's the divine Son of God, and on that first day of the week, at the crack of dawn, he rose from the dead. History doesn't explain him. He explains history. One of the things he said in history is, I am the resurrection and the life. What a startling statement that is. No other man has ever made such a claim, but that one who is a few bricks shy of a full load. Who but God can call himself the resurrection and the life? For another to make such a claim qualifies that man for the loony bin. And then on another side of insanity are those who recognize him as a good man and nothing more. What they need to do is examine this statement, I am the resurrection and the life. If he is no more than a good man, that statement makes him not good. He made the statement about himself, and the statement is either true or false. I say that the statement is true because he's God. Here is the statement again. I am the resurrection and the life. What can we say about that? Well, we can say this, he is resurrection, he is life, he is power, and he is real. Let's look first at he is resurrection. Again, John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. There's nothing particularly Christian about a belief in immortality. Historically speaking, all types of people have believed in the soul's immortality. The ancient Babylonians did. The Egyptians did. Native Americans do. Others do. It is almost a natural instinct in man. Normal people seek to survive death. But the Christian hope of immortality is different from the natural wish for survival, because our immortality is anchored in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we rely on the words that he said in John 14:9. John 14:9. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Christians believe that. Because I live, ye shall live also. He is our leader, the captain of our salvation, the first fruit from the dead. He came out of the grave and he lives today. Because I live, ye shall live also. The resurrection made Christians, his resurrection made Christians immortal. It's not a vague, lonely wandering about in the afterlife. We won't be limboed spirits floating somewhere between heaven and hell, but we'll be the continuation of our immortal souls. We will be in communion with him and with one another. We will not be drops that fall into the sea, lost and forgotten forever, but we will be individual, responsible souls that return to their Creator who lives today and forever. I love this next passage, Ecclesiastes 12:1-7. Verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Go down to verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Christ's resurrection validates our faith in the resurrection of the soul. He is the resurrection. Note that Albert Barnes says about Christ being the resurrection. Barnes wrote, "I am the author and cause of the resurrection. Resurrection depends upon my power and will. It may be said that I am the resurrection itself. The whole doctrine of the resurrection came from him, and the whole power to effect it was his." Christ and the Heavenly Father are one. They are co-equal, so that we can say that the Father raised the Son, and we can say that the Son raised himself. And we can say that Jesus Christ lives today. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And now he sits at the Father's right hand. He is the firstborn from the dead and the captain of our salvation. We look to him as our leader. Our leader is not in Washington, not in Nashville, not in Knoxville, not in Pittsburgh. Our leader is in heaven, showing us that we'll be with him one day. This is not some pipe dream based on a fleeting hope. This is fact, and we count on it. He cares for us today just as he cared for Stephen 2,000 years ago. Let's read Acts 7:55-56. Verse 55. "But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And the people stoned mighty Stephen. I say mighty Stephen, because his testimony in Christ speaks to us today. They destroyed his body, not his soul. And what did Christ say? Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not him which killed, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Stephen was martyred for the faith. I don't want to be killed because I believe in the Lord Jesus. But if that's what Christ has for me, then I want to be able to stand for him as Stephen stood for Christ. And if they take my life because of my faith, they will only take my body, being unable to take my soul. At death, my soul will fly away to glory to live with Christ evermore. He will keep my soul with him. The I of me will never die. But I would hate to be the one who killed the body, because Christ is able to destroy soul and body in hell. At his martyrdom, Stephen uttered a good prayer, Acts 7:59-60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen's words remind me of Christ on the cross, when Christ said, Luke 23:34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for I know they know not what they do." You can cross the next one out, because it's the same thing. At such a time as that, could I utter such a prayer? No way, not me, not without Christ, but with his enablement, I can say that. Remember, Christ lives today, and he cares about what we say. And in that day, he can make us able to say, Father, forgive them. He said it, and he had Stephen say it when Stephen was murdered. Christ lives today. He is resurrection. Further, he is life. John 11:25-26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? Because he is the resurrection, he is the life. Resurrection had to happen before life, because resurrection is from death. And because he rose, he lives today as the personification of life. Life is a precious thing. It is a thing that each of us wants. It is a thing that each of us who walk this earth has. Each one who breathes, thinks, and acts, because he has physical life. But let me say that again. Each one breathes, thinks, and acts because he has physical life. But Christ is more than just physical life. Christ is life itself. Note, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ rose from the dead because he is life. The grave could not hold him because he is life. His glorified body came out of the grave, and the empty tomb was a sight to behold, because the living Christ was not there. He had and he has a glorified body. It is a body like yours and mine, in the sense that it was made of flesh and bones, like yours and mine. Like you and me, it was able to eat, to talk, to walk, and do other things. But he was unlike us in that he had a glorified body, one in which was no blood. He shed his precious blood that he might forgive our sins. Notice what blood does. This is Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. I should have finished the first sentence. The altar to make atonement for the souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. For us, blood is life. If we lose our blood, we lose our life. And that is not so with Christ, because Christ is life. How that can be, I know not, other than the Lord Jesus is God. When he came out of the tomb, he had no blood. He shed his blood for you and me, and he was alive and unable to die again. His glorified body was supernatural, as he said, I am the resurrection and the life. His supernatural body came out of the grave. It could appear or disappear at will. It could walk through walls. It could move around on the earth, eat fish, and ascend into heaven. Now, his glorified body could do all those things. And one of the things it could do is that it could never die. Will our glorified bodies be like his glorified bodies? I don't know. But our bodies will be glorified that day. One of the things our glorified bodies will do is that they will never die. We will live as he lives. We will be immortal as he is. Listen to the words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 52 to 53. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Ever since Adam's sin, man has had a mortal body, a body certain to die, one subject to death at birth. Each of us has a one-way ticket to death's open door, a horrible fate that is. But Christ has changed all that. In Christ we have immortality. Our bodies may go to the grave, but when the trumpet sounds, we will rise glorified, immortal. Oh, that would be glory to me, for me, and for you, and you, and you. Glorified immortal bodies from earthly mortal bodies. That is why Christ came from the grave and why he lives today as the personification of life. Immortal bodies are bodies free, exempt from death. What did Paul say? We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And because Christ is life, he shares his life with us, his saints. And that leads me to my next point, which we'll talk about next week, God willing. For right now, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We come because we need you, Lord. This is the time. God, help us. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.